many of you remember as a kid or as a youth playing the game called hide and seek? How many of y'all remember that? I remember that. Now, we may play it a little different down in the southern part of the state than y'all do up here. I'm not really sure, but in my version of the game hide and seek, there was a place that was designated as home base. You know, it might be a table, it could be a tank, it could be an oil tank that you have at your house, it could be, you know, anything. It could be a tree, but this is home base. So typically, what would happen, the person who was it or the seeker would be at home base. This is the way we did it. And they would count to a certain number. Now, if you had a big area to cover, you may count to 100 or perhaps to 50. A smaller area, maybe 20, or in the case of some of us, you know, if we can't count very high, we just counted as high as we could. I don't know. But the point of it was, once you get to, and you're supposed to count out loud. That was always a rule down in the southern part of the state. You have to count out loud. So you go, 1, 2, 3. And then once the seeker gets to that number, in southern West Virginia, we would say this: ready or not, here I come. And the object, of course, was to get to home base without the seeker, the person who was it, seeing them and saying 1, 2, 3 on, and then put the name in there. That's the way we played. But the part I want to emphasize is when we got to that number, we said, ready or not, here I come. Do you realize that the Lord says that in His Word? Basically, ready or not, I am coming back. Now, some of you are probably a little perplexed because you heard me say last Sunday morning that was probably the last message in that series. Well, you see, I really don't determine that. That's not really my call. God wanted me to preach at least one more message on the Lord is coming back soon to get His children in the rapture. So this is actually part 8. And with that title, each time we've had a so, and then ask a question. Today, the question that we're going to look at, so are you rapture ready? So are you rapture ready? If you would, we'll be turning to a number of passages. A lot of verses will pop up on the screen. We're going to cover a lot of ground. Have 3 points today in the message. Again, the title of the message, the Lord is coming back soon to get His children in the rapture. So, are you rapture ready? Now, the thing about this question, are you rapture ready, I cannot answer that question for you. You can't answer that question for the person sitting next to you in the row. You can't even answer that question for your children. But you can answer that question for yourself. You see, the Lord wants us to be ready. And He's given us lots of exhortations in Scripture saying, basically, ready or not, here I come. And it could happen at any moment. But are you ready for the Lord's return? First point we're looking at today: clarity on the Lord's soon return. Clarity on the Lord's soon return. In the Bible, I found at least, I'm sure there's more, but I found like 9 verses that say beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Lord is coming back soon. Soon. Revelation chapter 1. Now, what is the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation, basically, it's a wonderful book. I've been spending a lot of time reading through and studying the book of Revelation. And I hope to, this would probably be a Wednesday night series. I would really like to go through the book of Revelation on a Wednesday night. Man, there's so much in there. But basically, it's a revealing of what God told the Apostle John about what was going to happen at the end times. It's a description of when the Lord comes back and what happens to Christians in heaven and what happens to this earth once the church leaves. Notice 8 different times throughout this book, in different expressions, it says the Lord is coming back soon. First of all, in Revelation 1:1, says, now this is the last book of the Bible. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show, notice, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now what does that say? Must shortly come to pass. Is that pretty clear? The things recorded in this book, that the first thing prophetically that happens to get the ball rolling, if you will, at these end time events is the rapture. And he says, this is going to happen very shortly. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Now notice these words, for the time is at hand. Yeah, I don't know how anybody could look at that and know anything about the book of Revelation or anything really about the Bible and say, I wonder what he means by that. It's very clear. The time of the Lord's return is at hand. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Notice what it says. Behold, I come quickly. I am coming soon. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown. Revelation 22 and verse 6. This is interesting. This is the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. It says in Revelation 22 and verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants, that would kind of like be us, right? His servants, the things which must shortly be done. Anybody get the impression that the Lord's return is really close? That the Lord's return is right here? The next verse down in verse 7, it says, behold, I come quickly. I am coming soon. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Drop down to verse 10 in that same chapter, the last chapter of the last book of the Word of God. It says, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Wow. Verse 12, same chapter. And behold, I come what? Quickly. Say that with me. Behold, I come. Try it again. Behold, I come, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then verse 20 of this last chapter of the last book of the Bible. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And there's one other place, the 9th verse that I found that says very clearly that the Lord is coming back soon. It's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Notice what it says. But the end of all things, what does it say? Is at hand. It's just right there. It's coming soon. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I don't know how anybody that takes the Word of God like we do in a literal basis, I don't know of anybody that could look at these verses and say,
Huh.
I bet the Lord's return is way off. According to these verses, the Lord's return is very, very soon. You know, I believe we need clarity on that. You know, it's really not a fuzzy issue. Do I know the exact hour that he's coming, the exact day that he's coming? Absolutely not. But you know what? If the Bible says it's soon, we better take it as it says it, right? The Lord is coming back soon. Some people might say, well, you know what? A lot of preachers have said the Lord's coming back soon. And those preachers are with the Lord now, and he didn't come back. Well, that doesn't mean anything. We talked about that at length one day. The Lord doesn't count time the way we do. The Lord is long-suffering to the lost and wants to see as many saved as possible. I'm sure that O.D., when he pastored his church for some 20 years, I'm sure that he said quite often, the Lord is coming back soon. The Lord is coming back soon. The Lord is coming back soon. And I actually have on an old tie of O.D.'s. Roger gave me this tie. It's got the fruit of the Spirit on it. So, is the Lord coming back soon? Yep. May not be in my lifetime. I believe it will be, but it may not be in my lifetime. But the Lord is coming back soon, according to his word. Remember what I encouraged you to do last week? Y'all remember? Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Did anybody greet anybody that week with Maranatha? Actually, I have to be honest, it went off my radar too, and I forgot probably as much as you did. But remember, the early church had that greeting, Maranatha, as a reminder. And if there's something that the church has forgotten today, it is the fact the Lord is coming back soon. We wouldn't be as lethargic as we are in our walk with God if we kept in mind the Lord is coming back soon. We wouldn't be as lazy in our work for God if we had it in our mind, the Lord is coming back soon. All these other things wouldn't be taking priority in our life if we realized that the Lord is coming back soon. You know, I called this clarity on the soon return of the Lord. I've found as I've gotten a little bit older, at times I need a little bit of clarity with these here eyeballs. And I'm looking at something now. I'm very happy that I didn't have to use glasses at all, I think, until I was about 50. Then after that, it's all downhill. But let me tell you, sometimes I need clarity. I can't see either what I'm trying to read or the small print or the serial number on the part or something. So you know what I do? First of all, I put my glasses on. And I'm like, I still can't see that. And I thought, well, let's improve the light. So I turn on the light a little bit real close and I look at it and I go, I still can't see that. Sometimes I go outside, maybe direct sunlight. Maybe I can, you know, I still can't see that. So I got this little... It must be a sign of old age. I got this little magnifying glass. And sometimes I break out this little magnifying glass. I go, oh, and if I still can't see it, I get Joe's magnifying glass. My father-in-law, he's got one about that big. And I break that thing out like, oh. You know, just to bring clarity, to make it clear of what's going on. To me, the Bible is very clear on this. I don't know of anybody that could debate that the Lord's return is going to happen soon. The second point that I want to look at today, choice at the Lord's return. Choice at the Lord's soon return. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. I want you to pay real close attention to this verse. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. It says, "And now, little children..." I would say that he's talking to fellow Christians, wouldn't you? It says, "Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." You say, "Preacher, run that by me again, all right?" It says little children. It's talking to Christians. We need to abide in the Lord. Now, just a quick summary definition. Now, that means a lot, abiding in the Lord. But I put down on these words, putting him as number one in your life. Putting the Lord as number one in your life. So Christ is part of everything in your life. And he is the priority. That's kind of the idea behind abiding in him. John, as he writes this, says, all right, little children, Christians, abide in him. Put him as a priority. Why? So that when he shall appear, when the Lord comes back to get his children, we may have what? Confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You see, at the Lord's coming, at the rapture of the church, Christians will either be one of two ways. Now, I'm not making this up. It's right there in the verse, right? He gives two options. He said, all right, some Christians, now I'm talking to Christians, those that know that they know that they know that they're saved, all right? Someone who is born again, someone who is saved, someone who has accepted Jesus as their Savior, all basically means the same thing. So they know that they're saved, all right? There's two options for you. If you're saved, look up here. If you know that you know Jesus as your Savior, look up here. When the Lord comes by, and we've already made that as clear as we could, that it's soon. When he comes back, you're going to respond one of two ways. One of two ways. It says in that verse that we may have confidence. Confidence. You can be confident. You hear the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and you're like, yeah, I'm going home. Confidence. Or it says, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, a lot of Christians are going to be ashamed or embarrassed when it comes to the Lord coming to get his children. Why is it? Because they're not abiding in Christ. They're not making Christ their number one priority in life. And let me tell you, this world is an expert at replacing Christ as the priority in our life. Can I tell you that the devil's good at whispering in our ear? And can I tell you, our old flesh goes right along with it because it feels good. It's what I want to do. And we replace Christ. And it may feel good for the moment, but let me tell you, when we hear that shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, which could be at any moment, we're going to be ashamed. You see, God only gives us a little bit of time in this world. A little bit of time. You know, Jesus loved us so much, he died on the cross for us. But yet we can't stretch ourselves a little bit. We can't exert ourselves. We can't be what God wants us to be. We can't make Christ a priority. We can't make him number one in our life. We can't be faithful in our service to God. There's a problem there somewhere. But I'm telling you, when we hear the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, we can either be confident because we're abiding in Christ, or we can be ashamed. Another word might be embarrassed. Like, oh, Lord's back. I'm meeting the Lord, and I know he wanted me to do so much more, but I never got around to it. Procrastination is one of the favorite tools of the devil. You can do it later. You can do it later. You can do it later. Folks, the Lord's coming back. We're already, what, from the time we started, more than an hour closer to the return of the Lord than we were when we started. You see, there's two choices. We can be ashamed or embarrassed at the return of Jesus, or we can be confident. Not because we're perfect, but because we put God as a priority, number one. Now, don't tell me that God's not hardly a part of your day that you're abiding in Christ. Now, don't you tell me if you're not given to God's work that you're making Christ a priority. I'm abiding in Christ. Don't tell me, oh, I'm abiding in Christ, but I haven't told anybody the gospel lately. I can't even remember the last time I shared the gospel. I'm abiding in Christ, but Don't expect me to be around much at church there, preacher. Come on. Come on. You see, we got a choice. We can be confident because we're abiding in Christ, and it's all because of Him. Or we can be ashamed or embarrassed. You know, one of those things that we do when we get together sometimes, we ask each other questions. Usually it's friends, thank the Lord. One of the things that, one of those questions that we sometimes ask, I believe we've even asked this at one of our family fun nights, what is your most embarrassing moment in life? And you're like, ugh, it was that time that I had to give that speech and I got up and, you know, whatever. I couldn't remember a single word of my speech and I just kind of stood there and stared at everybody. And then I ran back to my, you know, things like that. Can I tell you that as a Christian, there's a lot of Christians who's going to have a brand new, most embarrassing moment. It's going to be when we hear the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be confident when I meet the Lord. Not cocky. It's not about me, but it's all about Him. And sometimes people question the motivation of even preachers when we say that. You're just trying to make me feel bad. You're just trying to beat me down. You're just trying to... You know what I want? I want the best for every Christian that's here. I mean that. I love you. I want you to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to meet Jesus with confidence. So if it may appear that we're preaching, we're upset with you and all, I just want the best for you. It is a bit frustrating. I have to admit, probably my most frustrating thing in ministry, and I've been doing this a pretty long time now, probably my most frustrating thing in ministry is not what the devil does, because he's just being the devil. It's not what the devil's crowd does, because they're just acting like the devil's crowd. What upsets most preachers, I believe it would be a general statement, is the fact that so few Christians are serious about their walk with God. I mean, you look at these people and you're like, wow, what potential. Wow, how God has gifted you. Wow, what you could do for God. But we're playing the game. We're in the game. We're in the trenches. We got fourth down and one. And like, where are they at? Oh, no, where are they? Listen, clarity, the Lord is coming back soon. Choice that we have. We can choose to be ready by abiding in Christ and have confidence at His return, or we can be embarrassed and ashamed. You know, I don't want that for you. I don't want you to say, you know, in heaven someday as we go through the eons of time, preacher, you never told me. You never told me. Lord was coming back soon. Well, I'm telling you. Preacher, you never told me that we would either be confident or ashamed. I'm telling you. Now the ball is back in your court. Third point today. Point number one, clarity on the Lord's soon return. 9 verses, 8 in Revelation say, Lord is coming back soon. Number two, choice at the Lord's return. We can be confident or we can be ashamed. And thirdly, the word is confidence. Using that same word, confidence at the Lord's soon return. I want to expand upon that thought of abiding in Him. How can we face, and this is the last point, how can we face the rapture with confidence? Specifically, you know, you say, what, abiding in Christ, putting Him first? But let's put a little bit more meat on this, okay? How can we be confident when the Lord comes back instead of embarrassed? Got several things down here. First of all, we need to fix it into our brain that Jesus really is coming back. You say, how can I be confident? We got to get it in this brain. I don't know about you. This brain here, it's pretty disappointing at times. Is your brain ever disappointing at times? But we got to get it in there. You know, really, we need to wake up, and it needs to be so much on our thought. Have you ever had something going on in life, and it bothers you, and it just seems like it's right here? And you go about the day, and it's still right there, and you try to do other things, and it's right. Really, that's what the rapture of the church ought to be. It ought to be right here. It ought to be in our brain. Notice, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to refer back to these verses now specifically in this area of how we can be confident at the Lord's return, because it gives us information about that. It says in Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Again, that's us. Why did he write that he's coming back soon? For us? Why are we even given the Bible at all? For us? In Revelation 22:6, very similar wording. It says, basically, why did I write the book of Revelation? And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel. Why? To show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. If we want to be confident at the Lord's return, first of all, we need to fix into our brain that Jesus is coming back soon. You know, I don't care what any old commentator on the television says. I don't care what even old some TV evangelist might say on television. I care about what God says. And God's word is very clear. The Lord is coming back soon. Now let's get it fixed in our brain. Now, if you're like me, sometimes my memory's not real long. But we need to do our best to fix it in our brain. The Lord is coming back. That's one way to be confident. Second way to be confident is to be more faithful to the Lord. Be more. Did you catch that word? Would y'all spell that word with me? M-O-R-E. That spells the word more. If we want to be confident when the Lord comes back, we live in a day and age, it's almost like most churches and most flavors of Christianity are almost presenting what I would call Christianity light. It's like, well, you need fire insurance, come on down to the altar. We'll make sure you're on your way to heaven. But I'm not going to preach as your preacher, they would say. I'm not going to preach on commitment. I'm not going to preach on faithfulness. I'm not going to preach and teach that we need to be reading the Bible. We need to be praying. We need to be telling people. We need to be tithing. We need to be faithful in the services of God. We don't need to do that. You got fire insurance. You're good. Now, let me tell you, I asked the Sunday school class, you know, should we be more faithful in 2025 than we were in 1970 when this church was formed? The world's a whole lot worse today. I think we need more faithfulness, not less. And I'm telling you the truth. Some of you might be scratching your head saying, oh, I don't know about that. I'm telling you, most churches are advocating you really don't have to be faithful. You really don't have to commit to God at all. You really don't. That's not what I understand from God's word. If I want to be confident, I need to abide in Jesus, and part of that is being more faithful. Look at these verses. We've already referenced them again, but specifically in this idea of being confident. Revelation 3:11. Notice what it says. Revelation 3:11. It says, behold, I come quickly. Notice the exhortation. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In other words, it sounds like to me, we need to hold on to commitment. We need to hold on to faith, because we are going to be rewarded someday. Don't slough it off and say, well, that's society. That's what that church teaches. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to do the very minimum. If anything, we ought to be wearing ourselves out for Jesus instead of sitting on the sidelines watching everybody else work. You see, we need to be faithful. We need to be more faithful, not less faithful. Man, we got a whole lost world out there. We need to be more faithful to tell people about Jesus. You know, this. No one knows where this bombing of Iran is going to go. I doubt if anybody truly knows exactly what Iran has. And we don't know who may come into alliance with Iran. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm not worried about it. God's in control. But I'm telling you, we don't know where this is going to end up. There's a lot of people out there that need Jesus. You see, if we're going to be confident at the Lord's return, We need to be more faithful, not less. We need to hold on to our crown, hold on to our service to God. Notice another verse. It says in Revelation 22:12, talks about rewards. And behold, I come quickly. And notice, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, there's payday someday. We're going to be rewarded according to our service to God. You want to be confident? It's time to be more faithful to God, not less. I've jotted down a few areas here. We need to be more faithful to read and follow the Bible. More faithful. I'll not turn there, but in Revelation 22:7, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this book. In verse 10, the angel says, seal not the sayings of this book, because I want you to read this book. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth this book. You see, it's not time to throw the Bible in the corner and say, let's just do our own thing. It's time to get serious about this book. It's time to be in this book. It's time to read this book. It's time to live this book. It's time to be more faithful to the Word of God, not less. Again, this goes contrary. This is like butting heads with the world. It's like butting heads with most of the contemporary churches. This is like butting heads with most of the churches that call themselves churches that really aren't. They say, all right, you can just praise the Lord, you're saved. If you have enough faith, God will give you your house and your cars, and it's all about you. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about Him. You see, if we want to be confident and not ashamed, we need to be more faithful to the Word of God. Not less. Not less. What are some other areas we should be more faithful? To pray more. 1 Peter 4:7. We also referenced this verse earlier, but notice 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Notice it says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You know, I guarantee you that if we passed around a piece of paper and everybody wrote down the amount of time that they pray every day, in most churches, and I would suspect probably, maybe even here, we'd look at that number, total up that number of time we spend as a prayer at Oak Mount as an individual. I'm afraid we'd be embarrassed. Like, wow, you pray a minute a day? How do you do that? You see, if we want to be confident at the Lord's return, we need to be more faithful to pray. Some people say, well, what do you pray about, preacher? I can't pray very long. I can't think of anything to pray about. Well, number one, you need to get your head out of the sand. Number two, you need to get you a good, strong cup of coffee or hot tea and wake up and say, boy, there's lots to pray about. I mean, we went through a list. My whole page was listed just with mainly physical concerns, vacation Bible school, fireworks outreach, your lost neighbor, your lost coworker, the country and I mean, on and on and on and on and on. But if we want to be confident at the Lord's return, when we hear the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, we need to be more faithful, not less faithful. More faithful to read and follow the Bible. More faithful to pray. More faithful, more faithful, more faithful. You ready? More faithful. Church. More faithful to church. Look at this verse. It doesn't say that the Lord is coming soon, but it does reference, that is, the coming of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, and let us consider one another. You know, a huge part of church is one another, right? And we get together. We might be down, but we get among God's people. We get encouraged. You see, on Wednesday night and Sunday night, sometimes, usually actually, we give testimony time. almost every Wednesday, I believe, but Sunday night usually. And people get up and they say, you know what, I just want to thank God for saving my soul. I want to thank God that he answered his prayer. I want to thank God. And you know what that does? That gets that old heart beating. That gets us encouraged. It says, and let us consider one another. You know, part of the problem with people not coming to church, you don't consider other people. We need to consider other people. What? To provoke, to stir up unto love and to good works. When you come and you make your presence here felt, guess what? You are encouraging other people. And just the opposite of that is if you're not here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, duh, what do you think that means? The assembling of ourselves together. Where do we as Christians assemble ourselves together? In church. As the manner of some is. So some people say you don't have to even go to church anymore. I know people that say that, don't you? They've been hurt. They've been offended. I don't not empathize with them because we can be hurt in church, but it wasn't the Lord that hurt you. It might have been people. So I'm going to keep on being faithful to God and doing what he says and keep coming together. But some say you don't have to come to church. Some say, I'm not going to go to church. I mean, there are people that say they're saved and haven't been in church in 20 years. Now, number one, there's either a problem there, they never got saved, or they need to get right with God today and listen to this book. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and here it is, and so much the more. We shouldn't be getting together less, we should be getting together more, right? As you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord's return. And we've already clarified that the Lord's return is very, very soon. I had a discussion with someone on this verse. I was just trying to encourage them. I didn't think they went to church anywhere, and I talked to them a little bit. And I said, hey, you got church you going to? You know, come on up and visit us at church sometime. You know, you really need to be in church. Whew, boy, I hit a nerve. And I said, well, you know, where I usually like to go back to is the Bible. I said, well, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly. He says, yeah, in one place. Like that was a gotcha. If God says it one time, that's good enough for me. Right? As you see the day approaching. Do you want to be confident at the Lord's return? We need to be more faithful. More faithful to be in the book. More faithful to pray. More faithful to come to church. More faithful to tell others. More faithful to give. Can I tell you that the month of June is going to be a horrendous month for our church? We pay a little over $10,000 on the insurance for this church and our van. And, you know, the fellowship hall put it all together because we have replacement value. If something would come through and destroy everything we got, it would cost over $5 million, according to the insurance, to replace this. So our insurance is going to be high. So I'm braced. I'm like, ready. This is going to be a bad month. But it doesn't have to be. It's really time for God's people to even give more, not less. You know, maybe God's speaking to your heart and say, hey, I don't want the church to have a bad month. I don't want them to be in the hole this month. Now, it'll come out in the wash. Well, I'm confident it'll come out by the end of the year. We'll be a wash or a little bit above, maybe a lot above. But for this month, it's time to give more, not less. Let me ask you a question. You ready for this? This is really going to be a tough one, okay? I promise I'll have you out of here by 2:30 because we have to be at the nursing home by 2:30, okay? Let me ask you this question, all right? Let's say that you have $100,000 in the bank. You ready? $100,000. Let's say that you have a retirement plan that's worth about $250,000. And I know by today's standard, neither one of those being rich, a lot more than I got, but hey, it's not being rich. But let me ask, the reason I'm bringing that up, you say, well, look at this retirement. I got my statement. You know, look at that. I got all this here. And look at my bank statement. Look at that. I got. if you're a child of God and you hear the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, is that money really going to do you any good? No. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having a retirement. There's nothing wrong with having a bank account. But I'm just saying, if you look at things the way God does, if we want to be confident at the Lord's return, we need to be more faithful even in giving our money to God's house. Confidence at the Lord's soon return. Not only do we need to fix in our brain that the Lord's coming back soon, not only do we need to be faithful to the Lord in those areas we talked about, but we need to be serious about His coming. 1 Peter 4:7, again, I know we've referenced it several times, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore what? Sober, serious, minded, focused. We need to be serious about His coming. And lastly, as a way to be confident at the Lord's soon return, Revelation 22, verse 20. This is really good stuff. You ready for this? John, he's writing this down. The angel's telling him to write this down. He's writing it down, and he's watching all these phenomenal things happen and unfold, and he's writing them down. And then it says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." That's the Lord Jesus talking right there. "Surely I come quickly." And you know what? Amen. So be it. And John, I think, gets so excited about it. He says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You know what I mean? There's an excitement there. We ought to look forward to the Lord's coming and the rapture with joy. Every bad day is gone once the rapture happens. When we hear the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, every bad day is gone. Ha! I'll have lots of hair. Ha! I'll not be overweight. Ha! Let me tell you, it's all good. So we ought to be looking, if we want to be confident, we ought to be looking forward to it with joy. John couldn't refrain himself. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I'm ready. Come on. Do it now. Confidence. We need to, how do we get that confidence at the Lord's return? We need to fix in our brain that Jesus is coming back soon. We need to be more faithful to the Lord, not less. We need to be serious about His coming. Be sober. And we need to look forward to His coming with joy. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You know, in last night's Men's College World Series game, there's two teams left. There's LSU and Coastal Carolina. LSU's pitcher, I noticed, I was watching part of this game, kind of monitoring this game, keeping an eye on it. That pitcher looked pretty comfortable, and that pitcher looked pretty confident. He pitched all nine innings. That's almost unheard of in college and pro baseball. And he pitched a complete game shutout as LSU's pitcher. His name is Cade Anderson. And they won over Coastal Carolina in the first. Got to win three. Or first to win three, isn't it? Or best out of three. Got to win two. So they won one game, 1-0. Okay? And I'm not meaning to put words in his mouth, but I imagine if you ask this Cade Anderson, "How did you look so confident? How did you get into that game and seem like you were in control of that game?" You know what I think he'd say? He'd say something probably like this. "Well, I was ready for the game. I was all in. I was fully prepared. I was totally committed. That's how I faced that game. That's how I had confidence." Isn't that very similar to what we're talking about? Confidence, when we hear the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. Isn't that what we're talking about? If you want to have that confidence, be all in. Be fully committed. Be ready for the Lord's return. Today, we've looked at the Lord is coming back soon to get His children in the rapture. So are you rapture ready? We looked at clarity on the Lord's soon return. Nine verses, very clear. Lord's coming back soon. Second, choice at the Lord's soon return. We can either be embarrassed or ashamed or confident. And third, confidence that the Lord soon return. How to be confident. Get it in our brain. He's coming back. Be more faithful. Be serious about his coming. Look forward to his coming with joy. So let me ask you. If the Lord would come back, look at the clock. Go ahead and look at the clock. If you can. It's about noon. What if I say the Lord's coming back in an hour? Lord's coming back. I'm not predicting that. I don't know when that'll be. I know it's soon. But it could be at 1 o'clock. Would you face that rapture with confidence or with embarrassment? You know, the choice is really yours. And I believe you, some of you will leave today and you'll say, you know what, I'm under conviction. God is speaking to my heart as a child of God. I really need to dot my I's and cross my T's. I need to be more serious. I need to be more in. I need to be more faithful. I need to be on. But maybe next week, or maybe next month, or maybe the next phase of life. Can I tell you that normally that doesn't happen? I would encourage you today, as we sing the invitational song in a moment, if God has spoken to your heart about being confident at the Lord's return, about being more faithful in all these areas we talked about, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm going to ask you to come down the aisle. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar and get serious about the Lord's return. I said, preacher, I don't want anybody to think less of me. I don't think anybody will think less of you. And what's most importantly, God will think more of you and be pleased with what you're doing. Would you be confident or ashamed if the Lord were returned today? Put another way, are you rapture ready? I really believe, as I mentioned and opened with the hide and seek, I really believe Lord Jesus is counting. He's almost to that number that he's counting to. And he's about ready to say, in essence, ready or not, here I come. If you're here today and you say, I'm not a Christian, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. Boy, let me tell you, you want to be saved today. Today's the day. As we sing in a moment, I'll be somewhere down front. Would you come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. But the sermon is primarily for those that know Christ as Savior. Again, don't just kind of sweep this under the rug. I really, if I were you, I wouldn't care what time it is. I'd say, you know, Lord, if you're speaking to my heart, I want to do business with you. I really don't care what other people think. I'm going to do business with you. I'm going to come to the altar. I'm going to ask you to help me to be confident at your coming and not ashamed at your coming.